4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it's day four of Dukes and Bell's residency here at the Hooters Mall of Georgia. We got Chris in for Carl today. If you missed it earlier today, we caught up with DeMarco Helms, who's battling for that starting safety opposite Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates with a pick today. Guys were asking me how practice looked today. Man, we're not trying to create a controversy. Just telling you like it is. The ball just comes out of Penix's hands. It's electric.
Oh, Mike.
I'm just saying. You know, I said we're going to have a controversy, but no, that only way we'd have a controversy is if Cousins, heaven forbid, had a drag with that Achilles, and it took a minute for him to get on the field, and that would open up a weekend for Penix to be the starter. But if you missed it yesterday on the show, we were joking around. Mike Florio, who is a classic provocateur and instigator, likes to throw stuff up on the wall and see what sticks, basically put it out there that Penix Jr. has been elevated to number two. But once the team gets a look at him, the players will demand he's the starter. As if somehow it's going to be like the movie Rudy. As if guys are going to turn in their
right,
jerseys.
The hand in the uniform.
And it's got to be Penix over Cousins. Look, I will say this, and you would agree with me, just observing what we saw today, telling you what we saw today, is Cousins looks good. And the ball's coming out. But, I mean, Penix, there's just more RPMs on it. Because he's younger. That's just, you know, logically, he's going to be better. And one of the things that was a selling point coming out of college is his tremendous accuracy and quick release.
Yeah, but the thing is about Kirk Cousins, have no fear, ladies and gentlemen, because as Mike said, he looks good. He was, I don't know, he's at about an 85-90% clip, right, in terms of all the practices, passes completed. And look, he may not have the arm strength of a prime Matthew Stafford, but he gets the ball in there just fine. And the biggest thing about it is, Mike, I'm sure you'll agree, after the last couple of years at camp watching what we watched, to see the quarterback consistently deliver the ball exactly where it needs to be, time in and time out, has been a revelation to watch. You almost forget, because Matt Ryan was good for that too, but it's been a few years now since Matt's been a Falcon, and right, this is the closest thing to that we've seen for sure.
As we talked about, there was a Darnell Mooney missed a zig when he should have zagged, and yep, said that was on me, and Jesse Bates jumps the route and gets the pick today. But Bijan Robinson looked great. Just, I mean, midseason form, guys, making those cuts. As we said earlier in the show, if you had about the usual 1,500 to 2,000 folks on the side of the hill at Flowery Branch, there would have been some oohs and ahs and some cheers because there were some of those big moments you want to see at practice. As far as the offensive and defensive line, I thought there were some moments where Michael Penix used his cadence to draw the defense offsides.
Yep.
So in those game simulations, they're using refs. They're moving the ball 5 yards up. So that was kind of cool to see something he did at Washington. We also saw some defensive stops. We saw some success against the right side of the line against Lindstrom and McGarry. Then we also saw them blow it up on the offensive line and create some big holes for the running backs.
Yeah, today was definitely by far the best the defense has looked so far. And I think you can obviously attribute that to the fact that they're actually hitting now and putting on pads, and you can actually get some pressure. But at the same time, it was good to see because, Mike, I know me and you especially have been questioning some of the holes on this defense all offseason long, and to see the pass rush get home, to see the corners be able to hold up for the most part, I thought that was a really good thing to see.
Hey, man, the MLB trade deadline, we'll talk more about that next segment, but the only news right now for the Bravos is we have to say goodbye to Tyler Matzek, who amazing run in 21, finally getting to Major League Baseball after injuries and trouble in the minors and losing his confidence just to be basically the leader of that night shift that helped us win the World Series. He gets shipped to San Francisco. We take on a guy in Jorge Soler who's a part of Braves history, the home run, the amazing World Series MVP, the way he just took care of, you know, handling his business was so clutch against the Dodgers, certainly in the World Series. But is he the same dude? He'll be batting leadoff, and hopefully he'll give us some spark.
Yeah.
That's all we got. We also get Luke Jackson in the mix, but Luke Jackson's been terrible.
Yeah, he's not going to get any high leverage innings. He's going to be like a Jesse Chavez light, I would think his role would be, at least to start, maybe if he catches fire. But Jorge Soler, it's going to be interesting, Mike, because you're going to have to make – Snit now has some legit decisions to make on a night-in, night-out basis in terms of how he positions his outfield.
Just what we thought we'd see coming out of Northport. Soler, Rosario, and Duvall as your starting outfielders, man. Hey, more on the trade deadline, what the Phillies and Yankees are doing to improve their squad. We'll get into that. Right now, though, it's time to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, man, this hour of the Dukes and Bell show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Some comments from Malachi Starks, who's now one of the leaders on the team, now an upperclassman for the Georgia Bulldogs, talking about Clemson, talking about Carson Beck, talking about that opening game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Labor Day weekend. We got a bunch of good teams on our schedule. They just happen to be one of them. He says, excited to see what we can do. One of my friends he went to school with named Sammy Brown is down there at Clemson. Going to be exciting to go back and forth with him. I mean, a lot of folks look at Clemson and look at Dabo and his, you know, his lack of ability to get traction, or just the firm belief, I don't want to go down that road of the transfer portal, has really put them now behind the eight ball to where they're losing 3 and 4 games every year at Clemson.
The only question I have about this game, Mike, is the spread just a little too big? Because it's coming in right now 13, 14, yep. 15 in some places at this point, and I'm just wondering, first game of the year, out of the chute, is that just a little bit too rich for your blood?
Well, I mean, the Clemson quarterback situation, I mean, Cade Klubnik has not looked good. Ever since Trevor Lawrence left, DJ Uiagalelei is on his third team. That's why it's funny. I was talking to a bunch of guys because I'm a couple of Florida State buddies of ours, and one of my friends is here. He's like, I'm going to Dublin. He goes, what do you think? I go, nervous.
Yeah.
I'm nervous because you could argue that Haynes King is a better quarterback than DJ Uiagalelei, second year of the offense. Brent Key has done an amazing job at Tech. I said it for years, if you could just get the George O'Leary model, which is maybe you're not going to win 11 games, but you're going to have a chance to win 10, compete with Georgia, and battle in the ACC and be physical, and just nothing against Paul Johnson, but I think knowing you've only got one every 5 years chance to compete doesn't really do it for most fans. I think there's correlation. A big article, was it the AJC or had it, that all the millions of dollars coming in from the big money boosters at Georgia Tech to pump up the program, which says they believe in Brent Key.
Yeah, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see what he does in terms of getting as close as you can to a representative program without setting the bar, I think, too high. Because I do think, Mike, to be fair, Georgia Tech still does have a ceiling, especially in the conference that they play in for now. And we will see what happens next year. But I do think Brent Key has shown the ability to take this program, maybe not a full step ahead where it's 10, 11 wins a season, but right. I think 7, 8, maybe 9 is realistic, right?
Big time. And then the recruiting. He's doing a great job of getting... Again, for years, Jeff Collins was all that hot air. First off, you weren't going to run the option offense. You weren't going to – like, you want to go to the NFL, you weren't going to Georgia Tech, with all due respect.
Right.
I know guys like Bebe Thomas did come out, but it's still, you know, the exception to the rule. Now you got a guy's is an NFL-style offense. The one thing, if you're a defensive player in the state of Georgia, go to Tech because you're going to start because they need help on defense. He has done a great job recruiting. But just getting back to DJ Uiagalelei, if they, you know, if Florida State's offense, they got some weapons. Once again, they've loaded up on mercenaries at wide receiver. They got a good offensive line. They got some, you know, some defense, some pieces that are returning from last year. But I'm pragmatic on that whole business model. We'll see. DJU, he wasn't anything special at Oregon State.
No, everybody thought he was going to be the next in line of the quarterbacks that went to the right. NFL from Clemson.
Correct.
It just didn't happen. And now at the end of the day, look, he's changed his body type a little bit. He's been working on his conditioning. He's really trying to make it. If Norvell and his staff can tap into what we all thought was going to be there 3 years ago, 4 years ago, however long it's been at this point, I think he still can be a very good quarterback. But, and there's a big but, Florida State's got a lot of turnaround around
him. Well, that's just it. And because of what happened last year, now, look, we've rehashed this a lot on this program because I did get kicked out of FSU, but the thing is, you lost your chance to compete for the championship because nobody wanted to see, you know, without having Jordan out there, nobody wanted to see that team in a playoff because you knew where it was going.
Yep.
And the Louisville game, even though they did what they were supposed to do and they ran the table, it was so uncompelling. One of the worst championship games. And there's been some really bad ACC championship games. Nobody wanted to see it. But then you can't just have the whole team quit in the Orange Bowl because then you have no argument, regardless of the circumstances. Georgia's team, you could argue that Georgia's players had nothing to play for either. But Kirby's got such a machine, and it's on the tracks, and these guys buy in, and there's commitment, and they kick their butts, and regardless of who or who wasn't on that on that field.
And I would think the consequences and the stakes at Georgia for doing something like that.
Right.
I mean, essentially, if you're trying to come back the next season and you pull a move like that, forget right. it. Because there's a 5-star waiting behind you.
Right.
And that's just how it is.
Kirby's got that machine, and he's one of the few guys in the country. You could argue he is the guy right now since Saban has stepped away. One more thing from the comments from Malachi Starks. Talked about Carson Beck. I think the thing for Carson is just to step up and be Carson, just be himself. They love him on the team. Teammates love this guy. I think he's starting to realize that. So it's his job. You know, there's no one looking over his shoulder for the most part. Just being himself is the biggest thing for him right now. I think he's doing that very well. He could be the number one pick. It's his job to lose, basically, in the NFL draft.
Yeah, and the line around him is going to be really, really good. So even in the Clemson game, I wouldn't be surprised if they just try to bull rush and just run that ball up and down the field on Clemson, Mike, because the guys that they used to have at Clemson on that, they were the D-line sort of factory there for a couple of years. They are not that anymore. They have some talent there, but nowhere near the amount that they did 3 or 4 years ago. So
they're all on the Eagles.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if Georgia decides, you know, we're going to run the ball 35, 40 times and try to run up the score.
Hey, one last nugget on Georgia. Talked about this earlier in the show. I heard Steak and Drew Butler talking about it. College Football Report is the website, and it's trending nationally. People are looking at this. If you hadn't read the story, because we've got a Georgia fan right here, the story reads, Georgia, of the Power Four conferences, because only four now, dead last in graduation rate. Now, does that bother you? Does that matter to you? No, because the number one graduation rate is Clemson and Dabo Sweeney, which obviously we just talked about. Things aren't going so well up there at Death Valley the last few years. The caveat to this is, in a world where we look at a headline, people run with it without knowing the facts, the data comes from 2013 to 16. So it's the last 3 years of Mark Richt, and it doesn't include guys who leave early for the NFL, and then Kirby's first year, which, of course, a number of players, there was turnover in the roster because Kirby had to bring in guys like Tyler Catalina from Rhode Island to play offensive tackle. So I'm just saying, don't kill the messenger, but you know what a guy like Jim Rome, look at Georgia, oh, football factory, rack 'em. Get your degree in book learning. Not. You know what I mean? It's going to be the take that it's just some football factory. And just like, and I said earlier, like Barry Switzer, Oklahoma, it's just football players running amok. They have no control. Look at Ra-Ra Thomas. Nobody's graduating. I'm not saying this. I just know how people outside of 285 feel about this thing, Chris.
Yeah, the problem is, as you said, clickbait media is taking over these situations, and you're not actually looking into the situation for what it is.
Right.
If you look at Kirby's track record now, he's good. Like, that's not it. Listen, I would – let me
kick Ra-Ra Thomas off the make a statement. Don't save it for the – you've had – here's the thing, you don't get three strikes at this level.
No.
When you had all the heat that Georgia's had.
Yeah,
you got to go.
The point is, Georgia has other things to worry about. Their graduation rate is not one of them.
But again, just don't kill the messenger. If you see that, that's where it's coming from. You can say, yeah, that was 2013 to 16, and now you're the smartest guy in the room. Hey, speaking of which, thanks to Bleacher Seats Podcast, he just hit us up on Twitter. NCAA can only ban Michigan from crappy bowl games. College football playoff is its own entity. Because I like to tell you guys, nowhere on that trophy does it say NCAA.
That's true.
So if Michigan runs the table this year, they can still be in the college football playoff. NC2A is going to drop the hammer on them for their cheating, signal-stealing scandal, which at this point is water under the bridge for most fans.
I have a feeling they're not going to have to worry about that, Mike.
Right. No. Hey, man, live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, we're going to come back. What are the Braves doing? Is there more to come? Is this all there is? Is this all there is? We'll dive into it next. Hour number three, Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Carl is off today. Chris is filling in. Got some of our guys hanging out today playing some hooky over here. Got some other guys playing hooky. We're not going to name names for what companies they work for. Obviously, large manufacturing location somewhere around here. But they're off. So, again, they like to put their business on the street. You know, no one taking pictures or anything. Chris, we've been talking a lot about practice today. Also, the trade deadline's coming up at 6. Will it come and go with no more juju for the Braves? We gonna pull something off last minute,
Mike. Let me rattle off a couple of names to you, and this is the direction we're heading as we make our way towards 6 o'clock. Seattle acquired right-handed pitcher J.T. Chargois.
Ooh.
New York Mets acquire Paul Blackburn.
Okay.
Kansas City acquires Lucas Erceg. Are we noticing a pattern here? Not exactly.
A bunch of guys that I don't really know.
Yeah, a bunch of guys that are not exactly household names. Texas gets left-hander Andrew Chafin. So if that's the direction the market's going in right now, Mike, I don't see the Braves pulling a move because I would think, I don't want to speak for him. Hopefully we'll have him on the show soon. But I would think AA views, if those are the types of names that are going, that the combination of Smith, Shauver, Schwellenbach, Elder, you might as well just stick with them.
Biggest moves, I think Orioles made some moves. I think the Phillies, because they've been doing amazing things. But the one thing they hadn't had, they got a bunch of guys in that bullpen that throw 95-plus, but they didn't really have the closer. They went and got Carlos Estevez from the Angels.
Yep.
The Yankees go get Al Leiter. Is it Al Leiter's son?
I think it is,
Mark
actually.
Leiter? Okay.
Yeah.
So they get a guy. So that actually helps them. You already saw, if you didn't see it, Jazz Chisholm already had two home runs. Now, one was against, I think it was the shortstop was pitching at the end of the game. But he's already paid dividends for the Yankees. So the usual suspects. The Braves are just kind of in this weird kind of, I don't know, nebulous area, this gray area. Because, yeah, man, we're number one in the wild card. Braves fans are used to the Braves being number one in the division or fighting for the division. I don't care. I mean, you just got to get in and get hot at the right time. We've positioned ourselves to win that division. We expended all that energy to catch the Mets, and we had no pitching left for the Phillies 2 years ago. Last year, we had the best team in baseball and nothing to show for it because, you know, the Phillies punked us. Yet an incident, a situation where Orlando Arcia should have walked right up to Bryce Harper and pow, hit him right in the face as he's coming around second base. But no, we sat there and went, it was in a locker room. It's prof record. And the Phillies turned it into like their thing. Now, the Phillies didn't win the World Series. They ran into the Diamondbacks that nobody saw coming. What's the point here? The point is I want to be more aggressive because anything can happen. We've seen it happen to the Braves. If the best team in baseball won the World Series, Bobby Cox would have 6 rings, right? Doesn't always work that way. You just got to get hot at the right time. The Braves are always the team who get bitten by the San Diego Padres in 98 or the Cubs in the early 2000s or the Astros. There's always something. So maybe we can be those guys, right? But you got to sweeten the pot here, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, especially in the starting staff, Mike. And I'm looking at the guys that have gone that are starting pitchers. And the Zach Eflin, I mean, he's pretty good. Right. He's not, you know, going to blow you away. Yimi Garcia, James Paxton goes back to the Red Sox. He's awful right now. I mean, the market's just not there. There's a couple of guys. Detroit has Tarek Skubal, okay, who is a Cy Young Award candidate. Problem is, what do you want from the Braves now?
And that's the thing. In all seriousness, what do you have? Vaughn Grissom was a big chip in the game. He's gone. A.J. Smith-Shauver. I mean, that's the one that's always kind of considered a piece that somebody might covet. But you've really got to get in. We'll talk to Grant about it later in the show. You've really got to get into the weeds of Double-A baseball or lower to see what the next big thing is for the Bravos that's going to be considered untouchable. We've really gone – I don't mind them milling the farm system to do what we've did the last 3 years. The window is now. You got a team which, you know, again, this year between the injuries and the stars can't hit. No one foresaw that. That's why those 2 years we just talked about with Philly, you had to break through. You blew it.
Not only did you blow it, but now you've significantly cut into your window, right? You're talking about this championship window. How many years can you consistently let go by? Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies, where all these guys are under contract and you're able to still bring in pieces around them. This is another year, Mike, where as you're sitting in first place in the wild card spot, you can't just let the season crumble underneath you. You can't do it. You can't waste the year.
Ozuna is still raking. Last night he had a home run. I mean, to friggin' I don't know what that'd be, Lake Michigan, wherever it was. It was gone. I mean, he had a shot off the glass. I've never seen a home run there. Is it still Miller Park? They changed the name. Whatever the hell.
Whatever it is, it'll always be Miller Park.
The town that made Milwaukee famous. Anyway, this is a team which has got one guy, Ozuna. Riley's been better. Olsen shows that he's very streaky. See, we're hoping that Olsen just can get some traction. Arcia hit one 421 feet last night. Hopefully that leads to something. A lot of false starts. Last night, Grant Holmes pitches a really nice game. Kenny Powers with the mullet. I mean, he only made one mistake to Reese Hopkins, right, that home run?
Yeah.
He was great. And then Chavez just couldn't hold it down. But the Braves still, the other day, only scored 3 runs last night.
Well, and that's part of the problem, too, Mike, is you're counting on these guys right now in the pitching staff to bolster you up while the offense continues to sputter. And these guys don't have the track record or the resume that tells you that they're going to be able to do it consistently.
No, you had to run with a bullpen start because of Max Fried's injury. You're telling me we won't see these guys, by the way, Jorge Soler and Luke won't be on the roster till Wednesday?
At least Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, that's according to our buddy Justin Toscano of the AJC.
Okay, because Soler would lead off. He'd be the number one hitter.
Yep.
And then, you know, take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness.
I mean, you've had to throw journeyman career minor leaguers out there, you know, and let's be honest, Kelnick struggles. Maybe that's why Kelnick's on his third baseball team after being a top pick. you said it earlier. His struggles at the plate leads to him doing some really stupid stuff in the outfield.
Yeah, and the
the triple last night he gave up was inexcusable.
What's going on with the defense the last, like, week and a half? There have been some...
Well, Laureano up in New York was a train wreck that
completely
Friday.
Completely muffed it, although he did hit a home run the next day to make up for it. They have just been playing so... Because the one thing that you always counted with the Braves, especially when Freddie and Dansby were here, was solid defense. But Matt Olson's a great first baseman in his own right. We know what Ozzy can do when he's healthy. Arcia, despite not hitting, is still a good fielder. But they just haven't played that way. Right. I don't know what's going on.
Question from our man Jay on Twitter. He says, hey, guys, we got Soler now through 2026. Is he our DH plan if we let Ozuna go? Yeah, they've got the option. They'll pick up Ozuna because the option is $16 million for next year. No reason not to. Ozuna's been amazing. Soler is under contract. And it's not like a big contract compared to what some of the other guys are making on the Braves, but you're still took on some salary.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what the long-term plan is there. And honestly, the short-term plan as well, because there's only so many spots for these guys out there. Like, Ozuna cannot play the – that's not an option. He's not going out there and playing the field. So Soler's going to have to play some. You're going to have to see what maybe – I mean, Mike, if Kelnick keeps not hitting, I know people say to me, oh, Turtle, you're hitting on Kelnick. In all seriousness, though, Mike, if Kelnick continues to struggle, do you take him out of the lineup potentially? I mean,
well,
I think
who's going in after him? Everybody else is a bum. Well, I mean, that's just it. It's like, I mean, look, I wanted to see Nacho up to see what he could do.
He hasn't done anything. Nothing.
And he was really raking right down. We're here at Gwinnett. We're right down the street with the Stripers. He was crushing.
He's an automatic out at the plate right now. And in a lineup that you – the phrase, right, Mike, in baseball is you want a circular lineup, meaning 1 through 9, there's no weak spot in the lineup. The Braves right now, pretty much 5 through 9, you could say for the consistent part of the season, have not produced anywhere near what we thought they were going to. And that's being generous because Matt Olson and Austin Riley are usually 3-4. So they haven't been very good either. So when you go from a circular lineup in 2023 hitting whatever it was, 300 home runs, to what they are now, you get exposed, which is what they've been.
So that's why when we talked about, you know, Randy Arozarena, that's a big salary to take on, and then you'd have a potential logjam in the outfield next year when Acuna comes back. Here's the thing, though, guys. When is Acuna coming back? How effective is he going to be? Do you still want to roll with Kelnick, who's dirt cheap right now because you got salary control there? Money Harris was not really hitting. It wasn't like he couldn't handle the leadoff role, wasn't batting 300. He was a 250 hitter before he got hurt. So I would have liked to see them be a little more aggressive for a starting outfielder and then let figure out the consequences later. That's not the way Alex operated. He goes for Soler. And as Chris pointed out, Soler has been DHing for the Giants. He's not been fielding. So they're going to have to give him a really, really big glove.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know what he should bring? That giant oversized glove that they have at AT&T Park. Just put that in the outfield. He can sit in it. But, yeah, man, Soler, he does struggle. I mean, would you call him a butcher? No, that's Ozuna in the outfield. Ozuna, at one point when he was with the Marlins, was actually a really good fielder, you know, back in the old days before he went to St. Louis. But you're not putting Soler, you know, at the DH. That's Ozuna's job. So here you go. Potential starting lineup. Soler leading off in left, Rosario in center, Duvall in right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all you got?
Oh, boy. You want to know what the defensive minus war? I know you hate all those numbers, Mike, but the defensive minus war on that outfield would be astronomical.
It'd be like a war of -8.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. So that's where you're at, baby. We'll see if the Braves can put something else together, maybe another arm. As Chris just said, you guys, unless you're Grant McCauley, you don't know any of these players who got traded today as far as pitching help, some bullpen help, etc. But we will keep you up to speed. 6 o'clock is when the hammer drops. Coming up next, we've got plenty more, including some guy talk. What happens when a Tennessee Titan player confronts a Nashville radio host and calls him, well, it starts with a P and ends with a Y, and it wasn't a payday. That's on the way. Plus, we've also got one of the funnier moments. This is total Ron Burgundy. It happened to a former ESPN announcer now calling Diamondbacks games.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. It's all part of Guy Talk live from Hooters Mall of Georgia. We're here for Falcons Camp. Chris and for Carl, thanks for hanging with us this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is play. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, and the party's just gotten ratcheted up because everybody's favorite fan you love to boo everybody's favorite Alabama fan, Jerome, has just rolled in. I don't know what kind of J-O-B this guy has. He has a lot of free time, man. He's definitely in before 5, but our man has just walked in, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you what, and he apparently just narrowly avoided his own stint on the IL. He fell off a ladder today.
Oh, but he survived. All right, we're rooting for the ladder in that one. But Jerome is here at the bar. Come on down and join the party, man. And you can see what Jerome's all about. We basically get Jerome wound up. It's almost having like a radio show within a radio show. We were at Falcons practice today. Arthur Blank spoke to the media. Arthur says he doesn't meddle with the decisions. I don't know about that. We'll hear what Arthur had to say at 5 o'clock right now. Though it's time for some guy talk. We were talking about this off the air. You know, sometimes guys will come up to us and go, you ever have problems with players getting on you for something you said? And as Carl and I like to say, if we ever dog somebody out or said something, when we finally get a chance to talk to them face to face, we will say, hey man, you know, we've questioned your ability to do this or that, and now give you a chance to, you know, explain yourself or at least, you know, counter our discussions about you.
Yeah,
I know Trey came at me on Twitter day when I said, hey man, after they had lost some games and he talked about, you know, a big victory, I said, yeah, more like that. And then he called me a hoe, but that's about it.
He did.
The only other time I ever had any trouble with a player is years ago, I was doing an event. It was Atlanta, I think it was Sports Awards, and Big Bob Whitfield came up to me and he goes, yeah, you're the guy always talking that ish about me. I go, Bob, when they say holding number 70, everybody in the stadium knows. It's not like I'm making this stuff up. And Bob was laughing. Bob's a good guy. So I guess what I'm saying is never really had a situation like what a radio host in Nashville went through today. I guess they were broadcasting live from the Titans camp. Buck Riesing is the guy, works middays at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. All of a sudden, you get Titans defensive end Jeffrey Simmons walking up. And he's a big dude. And he says, you do a lot of talking on social media, P-S-S-Y.
Yeah. That's not a guy you want to mess with, and that's not a guy that has a reputation in this league for being a beast for nothing, Mike Bell. If you ever see – that's like a best comp I would give you, Mike, that's like Zach Harrison walking up on you.
Right.
That's not a guy that you want to blank with.
No, again, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more in Philadelphia where they just – there's nothing off limits and nothing in that locker room that's supposed to be private as ever. We saw what happened with the Phillies and Braves, something that was private then became a big thing. But Arcia was saying, way to go, Bryce. In this case, Simmons says, you know, he calls you a blank. I guess Buck handled his business, Buck Riesing, and said, hey, man, I don't know what he's talking about. They invited him on the show, and then Simmons walks away. So he basically comes over, calls him a word, and then won't put a headphone on and explain what he's talking about.
Well, that's weak. Because if you're going to do that while they're on the air, then you got to sit down and hash it out, right? I mean, that's just immaturity and childish behavior right from the guy. I mean, listen, we know, Mike, let's just be honest. We know that there are some rabbit ears that go on in these certain situations, right, and everybody handles it differently.
Well, Reason, to his credit, said, look, whatever you – I don't know what the hell you're talking about, what I said on social media about you, but you want to hash it out, come on the air, and he walked away.
Yeah, and I don't think necessarily that reflects well on Simmons, but right, at the end of the day, I mean, that's a win for the radio station, honestly, right, because that's going to carry the day.
Right. Now, some guys go, will you really call a guy a bum? I go, yeah. I said, if a guy came on the show, we've called you a bum because you've really struggled. Sorry. Guys, if we say this all the time. We used to go round and round with Thomas Dimitroff. When I say me, you know, I used to say stuff. And Thomas would get upset. I think we kind of meant some fences a few months ago when he came on. My argument with Thomas was, if you think I'm making this personal or being too mean-spirited, go not win playoff games for 4 years in Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston, and whatever I'm saying will feel like a Swedish massage. Again, water under the bridge. Thomas has always been straight with us. I'm just, you know, sometimes you make a joke, call a guy Bicycle Boy or something, and it gets back to him, he gets upset. Either way, moving on. Speaking of guys saying something that got him in hot water, Oren, do you have the audio from the Diamondbacks game? You got it? Is that a yes? All right. You guys remember Steve Berthume from ESPN? He was an anchor on ESPN. Like a lot of guys, when Cap Cities and Disney started cutting back, a lot of guys took jobs doing things they love. Like we saw, you know, Charlie went to Dodgers games, and other guys are going, Jack does what, Bruins games up in Boston.
Yep.
There's all these guys are doing things they really enjoy. So in this case, Steve Berthume is calling a Diamondbacks game, they're taking on the Nationals. Diamondbacks down by 6 in the third inning. When the broadcast returns from break, they show a group of teenagers kind of yelling and acting wacky. Take a listen.
All right, I found my new favorite T-shirt ever. The guy on the right. I can't. I'm a moron. There it is on tape and everything for the director. They'll use that, wear it out. Hey,
See, the problem is the shirt didn't say, I can't, I'm a moron. The shirt said, I can't, I'm a Mormon.
Oh. Ooh.
Now you
get. Ooh. Whoops.
So, meanwhile, guys went nuts on social media. I'm a Mormon, and I can't stop laughing. The shirt represents a joke that exemplifies the strict parameters that you guys know about Mormons. Yeah. There's been the Book of Mormon on Broadway. The guys from South Park did it. Anyway, Steve Berthume did apologize about it, and it was kind of funny, but isn't that great? A moron. No, it's Mormon.
Yeah. I'm surprised he even went – even that he thought it was moron and went with that on the air in 2024. He could risk getting canceled for that.
Well, I mean, but again, if the shirt, he thought the shirt
– No, had, I know, but I'm surprised he went there. That is hysterical. I've never seen the Book of Mormon, but I heard it's amazing.
Oh, it's absolutely hysterical.
I got to get
it
there.
It really is.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Patriots, we talked about this yesterday a little bit in NFL Blitz. Matthew Judon has been doing a lot of podcasting, doing a lot of interviews. He wants a new contract, but he's been hurt, and he's getting older. So Patriots are like, no, you're under contract. You're not getting a new deal. He got into it with his coach, Gerard Mayo, yesterday. They were seen kind of going back and forth, and like they do up in Boston, they were kind of lip-reading what was being discussed. Well, in an appearance on the Shut Up, Mark podcast, Judon crushes their front office. I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be the bad guy, but it's like, shoot, bro, help me out. We got the most cap space in the league right now. They don't even get the money. What the hell y'all doing with it? Y'all literally not using it.
Okay, here's the problem, Mr. Judon. You are on a team right now that is rebuilding, and you are on a team right now as a veteran player who wants to get a Super Bowl ring. It doesn't add up. But guess what? You signed the contract, big guy, so you're not in a position to talk. You were the one who made the decision to go to New England in the prime of your career, and you knew that it wasn't the same team that it was with Brady. So sorry, I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a hard knock life. The only money you make in the NFL that's guaranteed is called the guaranteed money, the bonus. And that's how you got to structure your contract moving forward when you're coming off a bunch of injuries. And look, Judon at the top of his game was one of the best defensive linemen in the league, right?
Yeah. But
not that guy anymore.
But he was not on the Patriots teams that had Lawyer Malloy and Richard Seymour. He was on the version post-Brady, and you suffered the consequences of being on a crap team.
Good
and
defense.
And that's why he's frustrated.
Good defense, but, you know, Mac Jones on the offensive side. Either way, not doing much to endear him. I wonder if the Patriots trade him. I wonder if they try to find a trade partner who's going to take on that deal, we'll see. Because it seems like it's coming to an untenable position.
I mean, hey. Falcons.
Yeah, again, we have no cap space. Falcons, by the way, have no cap space. Would require major restructuring, moving money down the road. We're not going down that road again. Kevin Durant, biggest rabbit ears in all of professional sports. On Monday, Keyshawn Johnson takes a jab at Durant on Undisputed Live, basically belittling Durant's importance to the dynasty by saying Golden State could have just been as good had they brought in Paul Pierce. Now, Paul Pierce is, look,
come on,
underrated, tremendous player. He's just saying, and I think we could all agree, you bring in some competent wing play, you didn't have to get Kevin Durant to go get another champ. I'm sorry, Kevin Durant. You didn't have to get, you know, him in there to get another championship.
Yeah.
You could have gotten a lesser player, but so basically he was chasing rings. That was the gist of the argument that Keyshawn Johnson was making.
That sounds like a guy trying to get clickbait for a show that is dying in the ratings. That's what it sounds like to me. Because that is – it's Mike, it's just not true. I mean, Kevin Durant's
one of the best players in the league. He is a pain in the ass. he is what he is, but he's an amazing athlete. But Paul Pierce, look, I understand the argument. That team was loaded.
Yes.
It was like the Harlem Globetrotters adding just another star. That team had everything. But you're taking it to the umpteenth degree. If they put Paul Pierce on Golden State with Klay Thompson, Draymond, Steph, you don't think he could have won the same blank? Keyshawn on Durant.
Two more titles? No. You know what? No, I don't, as a matter of fact. Because Kevin Durant, on those years that he was doing it in Golden State, he was the man. Steph Curry recognized, like, game recognized game, and Steph Curry said, hey, KD, when we need a shot at the last second, all you.
And then Klay, of course, also later on had some of those injuries, too.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what that is, Mike? Sad.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I think Keyshawn Johnson is a nitwit. I've never been impressed by the guy. He's got no charisma. Just comes off like a big blowhard and a big egomaniac, which brings us to Kevin Durant's pushback. If the Jets would have taken Jonathan Ogden, Marvin Harrison, Ray Lewis, or Eddie George, Number one, they would have been better off. I hate hypotheticals.
Love it, love it.
Got to admit, Durant won that one.
Love
check
it.
Mark for KD on
yes.
that one.
Yes, and he had an amazing game the other night, too.
He did, and he finally got in there and got it cooking. Now we're going to see if Jason Tatum can crack the starting lineup against South Sudan.
Yeah.
By the way, great story on the South Sudan. Lou Eldang, who played with the Hawks, is bankrolling that team basically out of his own pocket.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool story, and it goes to show you what a difference if a guy like that in the NBA can go back to his hometown and contribute so much. Look at all the growth and development. That team was able to push Team USA to the brink, and it's all because of him.
Now, that was in London, maybe in the casinos that night. They're going to be a little bit different in Olympic.
We'll see it tomorrow, I think, 3 p.m.
It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris in four, Carl Dukes. And if you hear somebody in the background running his mouth, that would be Jerome. Hey, man, come on down and abuse him and make fun of Alabama and enjoy ice-cold Hey Man Ale. We'll come back. Arthur Blank was talking about his team today. Is Arthur Blank a meddler? We asked him that before. Well, hear what he has to say. Talk about the Falcons, some really good things at camp. Most of it had to do with Bijan Robinson. It's all at the big 5 o'clock hour live from Hooters Mall, Georgia.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is play. We're live at Hooters Mall in Georgia, and the party's just gotten ratcheted up because everybody's favorite fan you love to boo, everybody's favorite Alabama fan, Jerome, has just rolled in. I don't know what kind of J-O-B this guy has. He has a lot of free time, man. He's definitely in before 5, but our man has just walked in, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you what, and he apparently just narrowly avoided his own stint on the IL. He fell off a ladder today.
Oh, but he survived. All right, we're rooting for the ladder in that one, but Jerome is here at the bar. Come on down and join the party, man, and you can see what Jerome's all about. We basically get Jerome wound up. It's almost having like a radio show within a radio show. We were at Falcons practice today. Arthur Blank spoke to the media. Arthur says he doesn't meddle with the decisions. I don't know about that. We'll hear what Arthur had to say at 5 o'clock. Right now, though, it's time for some guy talk. We were talking about this off the air. You know, sometimes guys will come up to us and go, you ever have problems with players getting on you for something you said? And as Carl and I like to say, if we ever dog somebody out or said something, when we finally get a chance to talk to them face-to-face, we will say, hey, man, you know, we've questioned your ability to do this or that, and now give you a chance to, you know, explain yourself or at least, you know, counter our discussions about you.
Yeah.
I know Trey came at me on Twitter day when I said, hey, man, after they had lost some games and he talked about, you know, a big victory, I said, yeah, more like that. And then he called me a hoe. But that's about it.
He did.
The only other time I ever had any trouble with a player is years ago I was doing an event. It was Atlanta, I think it was Sports Awards, and Big Bob Whitfield came up to me and he goes, yeah, you're the guy always talking that ish about me. I go, Bob, when they say holding number 70, everybody in the stadium knows. It's not like I'm making this stuff up. And Bob was laughing. Bob's a good guy. So I guess what I'm saying is never really had a situation like what a radio host in Nashville went through today. I guess they were broadcasting live from the Titans camp. Buck Riesing is the guy, works middays at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. All of a sudden, you get Titans defensive end Jeffrey Simmons walking up. And he's a big dude. And he says, you do a lot of talking on social media, P-S-S-Y.
Yeah. That's not a guy you want to mess with, and that's not a guy that has a reputation in this league for being a beast for nothing, Mike Bell. If you ever see – that's like a best comp I would give you, Mike. That's like Zach Harrison walking up on you.
Right.
That's not a guy that you want to blank with.
No, again, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more in Philadelphia where they just – there's nothing off limits and nothing in that locker room that's supposed to be private as ever. We saw what happened with the Phillies and Braves, something that was private then became a big thing. But Arcia was saying, way to go, Bryce. In this case, Simmons says, you know, he calls you a blank. I guess Buck handled his business, Buck Riesing, and said, hey, man, I don't know what he's talking about. They invited him on the show, and then Simmons walks away. So he basically comes over, calls him a word, and then won't put a headphone on and explain what he's talking
well,
about.
Well, that's weak. Because if you're going to do that while they're on the air, then you got to sit down and hash it out, right? I mean, that's just immaturity and childish behavior from the guy. I mean, listen, we know, Mike, let's just be honest. We know that there are some rabbit ears that go on in these certain situations, right, and everybody handles it differently.
Well, Reason, to his credit, said, look, whatever you – I don't know what the hell you're talking about, what I said on social media about you, but you want to hash it out, come on the air. And he walked away.
Yeah, and I don't think necessarily that reflects well on Simmons, but right, at the end of the day, I mean, that's – that's a win for the radio station, honestly, right. Because that's going to carry the day.
Right. Now, some guys go, you really call a guy a bum? I go, yeah. I said, if a guy came on the show, we've called you a bum because you've really struggled. Sorry. Guys, we say this all the time. We used to go round and round with Thomas Dimitroff. When I say me, you know, I used to say stuff. And Thomas would get upset. I think we kind of meant some fences a few months ago when he came on. My argument with Thomas was, if you think I'm making this personal or being too mean-spirited, go not win playoff games for 4 years in Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston, and whatever I'm saying will feel like a Swedish massage. Again, water under the bridge. Thomas has always been straight with us. I'm just, you know, sometimes you make a joke, call a guy Bicycle Boy or something, and it gets back to him, he gets upset. Either way, moving on. Speaking of guys saying something that got him in hot water, Oren, do you have the audio from the Diamondbacks game? You got it? Is that a yes? All right. You guys remember Steve Berthume from ESPN? He was an anchor on ESPN. Like a lot of guys, when Cap Cities and Disney started cutting back, a lot of guys took jobs doing things they love. Like we saw, you know, Charlie went to Dodgers games, and other guys are going, Jack does what, Bruins games up in Boston.
Yep.
There's all these guys are doing things they really enjoy. So in this case, Steve Berthume is calling a Diamondbacks game, and they're taking on the Nationals. Diamondbacks down by 6 in the third inning. When the broadcast returns from break, they show a group of teenagers kind of yelling and acting wacky. Take a listen.
All right, I found my new favorite T-shirt ever. The guy on the right. I can't. I'm a moron. There it is on tape and everything for the director. They'll use that, wear it out. Hey,
See, the problem is the shirt didn't say, I can't, I'm a moron. The shirt said, I can't, I'm a Mormon.
Oh. Ooh.
Now you get.
Ooh. Whoops.
So, meanwhile, guys went nuts on social media. I'm a Mormon and I can't stop laughing. The shirt represents a joke that exemplifies the strict parameters that you guys know about Mormons.
Yeah.
There's been the Book of Mormon on Broadway. The guys from South Park did it. Anyway, Steve Berthume did apologize about it, and it was kind of funny, but isn't that great? A moron. No, it's Mormon.
Yeah. I'm surprised he thought it was moron and went with that on the air in 2024. He could risk getting canceled for that.
Well,
Michael.
I mean, but again, if the shirt, he thought the shirt
No, went. I know, but I'm surprised he went there. That is hysterical. I've never seen the Book of Mormon, but I heard it's amazing.
Oh, it's absolutely hysterical.
I got to get
it
there.
It really is.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Patriots, we talked about this yesterday a little bit in NFL Blitz. Matthew Judon has been doing a lot of podcasting, doing a lot of interviews. He wants a new contract, but he's been hurt and he's getting older. So Patriots are like, no, you're under contract. You're not getting a new deal. He got into it with his coach, Gerard Mayo, yesterday. They were seen kind of going back and forth, and like they do up in Boston, they were kind of lip reading what was being discussed. Well, in an appearance on the Shut Up Mark podcast, Judon crushes their front office. I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be the bad guy, but it's like, shoot, bro, help me out. We got the most cap space in the league right now. They don't even get the money. What the hell y'all doing with it? Y'all literally not using it.
Okay, here's the problem, Mr. Judon. You are on a team right now that is rebuilding, and you are on a team right now as a veteran player who wants to get a Super Bowl ring. It doesn't add up. But guess what? You signed the contract, big guy, so you're not in a position to talk. You were the one who made the decision to go to New England in the prime of your career, and you knew that it wasn't the same team that it was with Brady. So sorry, I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a hard knock life. The only money you make in the NFL that's guaranteed is called the guaranteed money, the bonus. And that's how you got to structure your contract moving forward when you're coming off a bunch of injuries. And look, Judon at the top of his game is one of the best defensive linemen in the league, right?
Yeah. But
not that guy anymore.
But he was not on the Patriots teams that had Lawyer Malloy and Richard Seymour. He was on the version post-Brady, and you suffered the consequences of being on a crap team.
Good
and
defense.
That's why he's frustrated.
Good defense, but, you know, Mac Jones on the offensive side. Either way, not doing much to endear him. I wonder if the Patriots trade him. I wonder if they try to find a trade partner who's going to take on that deal. We'll see. Because it seems like it's coming to an untenable position.
I mean, hey. Falcon.
Yeah, again, we have no cap space. Falcons, by the way, have no cap space. Would require major restructuring, moving money down the road. We're not going down that road again. Kevin Durant, biggest rabbit ears in all of professional sports. On Monday, Keyshawn Johnson takes a jab at Durant on Undisputed Live, basically belittling Durant's importance to the dynasty by saying Golden State could have just been as good had they brought in Paul Pierce. Now, Paul Pierce is, look,
come on,
underrated, tremendous player. He's just saying, and I think we could all agree, you bring in some competent wing play. You didn't have to get Kevin Durant to go get another champ. I'm sorry, Kevin Durant. You didn't have to get you know, him in there to get another championship.
Yeah.
You could have gotten a lesser player, but so basically he was chasing rings. That was the gist of the argument that Keyshawn Johnson was making.
That sounds like a guy trying to get clickbait for a show that is dying in the ratings. That's what it sounds like to me. Because that is – it's Mike, it's just not true. I mean, Kevin Durant's
one of the best players. And look, he's a pain in the ass. He is what he is, but he's an amazing athlete. But Paul Pierce – I understand the argument. That team was loaded.
Yes.
It was like the Harlem Globetrotters adding just another star. That team had everything. But you're taking it to the umpteenth degree. If they put Paul Pierce on Golden State with Klay Thompson, Draymond, Steph, you don't think he could have won the same blank? Keyshawn on Durant.
Two more titles? No. You know what? No, I don't, as a matter of fact. Because Kevin Durant, on those years that he was doing it in Golden State, he was the man.
He was.
Steph Curry recognized, game recognized game, and Steph Curry said, hey, KD, when we need a shot at the last second, all you.
And then Klay, of course, also later on had some of those injuries, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know what that is, Mike? Sad.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I think Keyshawn Johnson is a nitwit. I've never been impressed by the guy. He's got no charisma. Just comes off like a big blowhard and a big egomaniac, which brings us to Kevin Durant's pushback. If the Jets would have taken Jonathan Ogden, Marvin Harrison, Ray Lewis, or Eddie George, number one, they would have been better off. I hate hypotheticals.
Love it. Love it.
Got to admit, Durant won that one.
Love
check mark for KD on
yes.
that one.
Yes, and he had an amazing game the other night, too.
He did, and he finally got in there and got it cooking. Now we're going to see if Jason Tatum can crack the starting lineup against South Sudan.
Yeah.
By the way, great story on the South Sudan. Lou Eldang, who played with the Hawks, is bankrolling that team basically out of his own pocket.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool story, and it goes to show you what a difference. If a guy like that in the NBA can go back to his hometown and contribute so much, look at all the growth and development. That team was able to push Team USA to the brink, and it's all because of him.
Now, that was in London. Maybe in the casinos that night. They're going to be a little bit different in the Olympics.
We'll see it tomorrow, I think, 3 p.m.
It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris in four, Carl Dukes. And if you hear somebody in the background running his mouth, that would be Jerome. Hey, man, come on down and abuse him and make fun of Alabama and enjoy ice-cold Hey Man Ale. We'll come back. Arthur Blank was talking about his team today. Is Arthur Blank a meddler? We asked him that before. Well, hear what he has to say. Talk about the Falcons. Some really good things at camp. Most of it had to do with Bijan Robinson. It's all at the big 5 o'clock hour live from Hooters Ball, Georgia.